independent in thought and punk rock in life. It's the Chad Benson Show.
Well, Donald Trump's hopes and dreams of stopping any federal money getting to sanctuary cities at least has temporarily been put on hold. Temporarily. Because you never know what's going to happen. A court in San Francisco said, not so fast there, President Trump. You can't do that. Can't change the rules. And if you were to try to halt federal funds to sanctuary cities, it's got to be for a specific reason and a specific project. You just can't do what you're doing. And, of course, the battle begins, and this is the battle that is going to begin. This is San Francisco City Attorney Dennis Herrera.
This is why San Francisco had to stand up on behalf of people everywhere, be they immigrants or native-born. As Americans, we all have a duty to confront injustice even when it emanates from the White House.
Ah, justice. I love it when they say, hey, Democrats, do you want to know why that two-thirds of the governorships are Republicans and you've lost 1,000 seats? Because you will fight tooth and nail. You will fight tooth and nail for people that have come to this country illegally. Even the ones who are criminals. And no, not everybody there is a criminal. All right? So slow your racist comments down. I don't need those. Okay? You will fight tooth and nail for them, but you will ignore the rest. You will piss off the taxpayers. You will ignore your base of hardworking people because it is of utmost importance that you continue to have a underclass of people that will one day in your mind and your hopes and your prayers be made legal so they will one day vote for you and keep you in power. That's what you hope for. That's what you dream for. That's what you pray for. That's it. And you wonder why you lost. And you wonder why you continue to lose. Right? You wonder why. You got the Pelosi's of the world running around and the Chuck Schumer's and the wall is immoral and blah, blah, blah. You've got all of this stuff going on. You ignore. You'll do anything, right? Anything. Check off that box. Check off that box, man. Get that box checked off. It's like a scavenger hunt of identity politics. It is. Who can be in my scavenger hunting team? You'll do anything for it. So this round goes to the city of San Francisco and the sanctuary cities.
This is why we have courts. To halt the overreach of a president and attorney general who either don't understand the Constitution or choose to ignore it.
Again, wrong. Wrong, wrong, wrong. Understand, the president has a lot of rights that you guys ignore. Case in point, the whole travel ban, right? The whole travel ban. President's allowed, when it comes to the safety of our country, to understand how immigration works and decide who can come here and who shouldn't. But we've turned it over. And this is going to get turned over, too. Remember where you're at, San Francisco. But this is the first of several sanctuary cities that are going to be challenging this throughout. As a taxpayer, no matter what city you're in, no matter what state you're in, you should be incensed and you should be pissed. And they're missing it too. Most people are over it. They're sick and tired of it. They want this solution. They want to find the solution. Is it a wall? I don't know. How about enforcing the laws? I know that's one of the things that should be a solution. How about finding out who's actually here while also stopping the flow of people coming here? I was telling somebody the other day, I compared this, like, well, which one do you do first? I said, well, you got to stop the flow of people coming here, right? You have to. You fix the leak before you start bailing everything out, because every time you go and bail something out, more gets in. Fix the leak, then bail it out. But this is what we've got here. This is what we've got. We have plenty of people that will cater to so many while taking from so very few. They'll cater and do anything for them while taking tax dollars time and time again and handing it out time and time again and doing anything time and time again because it makes people on the social side of things feel good. Empathy, yes. I'm sick of even saying, do you have empathy? Yes, I understand. Good God. Listen to the show. Yes, I understand. Got empathy. But you know what? I'm also a realist. I'm also somebody who wants a sovereign border. Some of these states and cities need to be shown something here. That you can't sit here and say one thing and do another. You don't give a rat's ass about my money as long as it's going to you. You don't care that I bust my ass and work here. I can't stand California. I can't. I grew up here. I can't stand this state anymore. I barely recognize it. Catering to the have-nots all the while you're taking from my pocket? Screw you and the horse you rode in on. This is the Attorney General, State's AG, Javier Becerra.
We're in the business of public safety. We're not in the business of deportation.
Fine. You're in the business of public safety and not in deportation. We're not asking you for that. I'm not asking you for deportation. I don't even think the Trump administration is asking you for that. I think what Sessions and them have said 1,000 times is pretty much this. If you arrest a guy, he's a violent criminal. He's had run-ins with the law before. And you notice that he's here illegally after he gets processed through the system. Alert ICE to come and pick him up because his ass doesn't need to be here. Can you do that? Is that possible? We're not saying go down the street kicking the doors and check everybody. We're not saying the cops to check everybody. We're saying once they get to the point where they're in the system and you've arrested them, and they're bad dudes and women, don't want to leave anybody out, they're bad hombres. Bad chiquitas. When that happens, can you not say, hey, this guy's not here legally, and he's committed some crimes on numerous occasions. Not have some special rule. You don't have it for the brother down the street, right? You don't have it for the crack-ass, crack-a-white trash down the street. You don't have it for those people. No. No, you don't. You don't have it for any of those people. But you have it for a special group that you've somehow martyred, a special group that you've somehow done, hey, this is the best thing to do. This is it. Well, it's a federal law. It's this, that, and the other. We're not asking the cops to do that, right? No, I think the thing you ask is, hey, if you come in contact with somebody who is a violent criminal, not somebody who's got too many parking tickets, all right? Maybe not even somebody who's a drunk driver. Even then, I would debate that. But somebody that you've picked up because they've done some bad stuff. And you know through the process that they're not here by legal means, then you alert. That's it. We're not telling the cop on the street, check everybody's papers. What we are saying, though, if there is somebody here and you've come in contact with them because they've done bad and you've arrested them, maybe it's time that we take other means rather than eat off my state tax dollars and your state tax dollars and your city dollars and send his ass or her ass back home. How about that?
We have been abiding by federal law for quite some time before Jeff Sessions became the Attorney General. We're going to continue to abide by federal law and the U.S. Constitution.
They always like to talk about the Constitution. Again, the Constitution is what? It's all about interpretation. People on the left will interpret it much different than people on the right. And then we'll try to figure out what guys who wrote the Constitution and put it together lo those many years ago really meant or didn't mean. But it drives me crazy. And this is what you've got now. So you got a city that's now upheld Trump's executive order, put a stop to it. Not going to do it. And now the fight continues. And every twist and every turn and everywhere they're going to go, this is what you're going to get. You're going to get every kind of fight. Yesterday, that whole thing with Nancy. In fact, I've got to play this again for you. This just shows you the absolute asinine viewpoints of people like Nancy Pelosi and the Chuck Schumers and all of these people who get up there and they just absolutely just whatever they're speaking, it just rolls out of their mouth. It's just crap. I always say that about the right, but I'm going to say that about the left when it comes to this right here.
The president, talking about this wall, is expressing a sign of weakness. He's saying, I can't control our borders. I have to build a wall.
Because you allowed that. You politicians allowed that. You politicians jacked the pooch. You politicians did this. He's coming in and fixing a mess you created. He's fixing a mess that you, Nancy, have created. Your dream of building a utopia of a permanent underclass that will always continue to keep you in power. Chase away everybody else who earns a living and busts their ass in the state, who's sick and tired of it, and from other states and cities across the country. You've done that. You. Just when I thought that was the dumbest thing, state AG in California, Javier Becerra, says this. I might have to play you this twice. This is how stupid this is.
California today is the sixth largest economy in the world. We created more jobs than number two Florida and number three Texas combined. And we're doing it by keeping families together, not separating them.
So that's how they do it. I want everybody to soak that up. I'm going to want you to listen one more time. This is how California creates all these jobs. It's not because of, hey, we've got the great Silicon Valley up there. We have an industry that's been here for a long time. It's not because of that. It's because of what again, Mr. Becerra?
California today is the sixth largest economy in the world. We created more jobs than number two Florida and number three Texas combined. And we're doing it by keeping families together, not separating them.
Ah, God. That's what I thought. It's because they keep families together. That is why. I was an idiot. I'm so sorry. I thought the reason the jobs were created were, you know, people worked hard and they bust their ass and they start a business and they create jobs. But it's because you keep families together. Thank God for that. Woohoo! Man, you have saved us all. God, I can't believe that. I should send him flowers. I should. Speaking of flowers, kids, there's a day that you should remember, and then there's another day and another day. Let me help you with that. In fact, let me help you with that by saying go to ProFlowers. They've just launched their brand new Pro Gifter service. It's amazing. It's easy. It's fail-proof. You will never forget. You'll always look like a hero. Like the great Vanilla Ice said, this. Drop zero and get with the hero. Well, with Pro Gifter service, you will be the hero and not the zero. So what I want you to do, okay? I want you to check out ProFlowers.com. They got the Pro Gifter service. Pro Gifter service allows you to have three bouquets delivered, right? So three different days to three different addresses up to a year in advance. So if you forget a birthday, an anniversary, no matter what it is, you're going to look amazing. Three bouquets and vases, free shipping for $99. That's a $70 saving. $70. You get your seven-day freshness guarantee because all Pro Flowers pass a seven-point quality check before being shipped. I know what you're thinking. Nah, there's an occasion that you should send flowers to right now. Go to ProFlowers.com. Look for the Pro Gifter banner. It's right there on the homepage. Pick your flowers, set the delivery dates, and boom, you are done. That's ProFlowers.com. It's the Chad Benson Show.
Feeling confused? No worries. That's why he's here. This is the Chad Benson Show. Setting things straight.
People are mad at me. Texting away. Feel free to text me, by the way, always 323-538-2423. I understand why some people are mad talking about Joni. Joni loves Chachi fame, Erin Moran, Happy Days fame. She died, and people were mad at Scott Baio, and they attacked him. And earlier today, I stood by what he had to say because I don't think what he said was wrong about her. And how she basically pissed away her life with drugs and alcohol. And, she did. Let's be honest. She did. I've known people that piss away a lot of stuff. I talked about my father, right? People say we should have compassion. She just died the other day. I said yesterday I gave her a hell of a send-off. I think we'd all agree, right? Yesterday I had a pretty good send-off. I didn't want her to die. But there were choices in life she made. She got cancer. I don't know what kind of cancer it was. They're still very... You know, it's just mums on that, and it was a horrible way to go. But I don't think her fight and her battle with drugs and alcohol along the way helped her body, immune system, and everything else. The abuse, right? But she's gone. There's no coming back. She's not Jesus. It's like, did you guys hear Joni? She resurrected herself. No, it's not happening. But there are people out there who could be struggling with it. And then you hear, don't they need to hear the truth? Isn't that what that's about? And this wasn't about Joni. This was about Scott Baio. That's what this was about. This was about Scott Baio. It's funny because somebody sent me a picture of, I think it was something somebody tweeted or said about him grabbing onto his past life and glory and this, that, and the other. There's a saying in Hollywood. Hey, did you make good money on that show? Well, I made some good money, but I didn't make Scott Baio money. Because, you see, Scott Baio was the smartest of everyone, and he was the only one to get residuals on a regular basis. Scott Baio was a smart character and a cookie. But that wasn't about him. I mean, that wasn't about her. That was about him and the way that people reacted. I talked about my father and how he pissed away his life. My father had a lot of opportunities in life when he was younger, even up until the point where a couple of years before he died. And yeah, if you were to ask me today, is that harsh? And he said, no, it's not harsh. It's reality. Pissed away his life. But along him pissing away his life, he taught me a lesson, which was don't piss away your life. There you go. It's great, right? The best parenting thing. My mother gave me a work ethic. My father gave me some of his personality with none of his addictions. Put them together, and this is what happens. There you go. Listen to my show, you get honesty. I'm not here for your feelings. I'm here for honesty. I think we can empathize with people. You can understand. Right? You can. But how many of you lost sleep last night because Joni died? None. But we could talk about stuff like that because this is the stuff that matters. Because there are people out there battling addiction, battling food addiction, battling all kinds of addictions, drugs, alcohol, and truth is the thing. You know, you want to show compassion? Somebody said, you show compassion. Compassion and truth, kind of the same thing, really. Tell somebody the truth every once in a while. It's the most compassionate thing you can do. Skirting around the issue, we see what that gets us when we don't talk about things for real. The Chad Benson Show, Facebook, at Chad Benson Show. Twitter, C-H-A-D-B-E-N-S-O-N, Chad at ChadBensonShow.com. You can text the program, 323-538-2423. Hate, love, don't care. Send it to me, 323-538-2423. And yes, it is me, the Chad Benson, the sassy one, the edgy one, that will actually, as one person said, wound tight one. I don't think I'm wound tight. I'm golfing when we're not playing this little radio thing right now. I just want to point that out to you guys. Chad Benson Show.
Chad Benson Show.
Independent in thought and punk rock in life. It's the Chad Benson Show.
He calls it a skinny budget. I call it something else that begins with S.
He's a damn liar.
Republican leaders and President Trump don't give a about the people they were trying to hurt.
I'm right, he's a liar.
They call their budget a skinny budget. I call their budget a shitty budget.
The Republican leadership doesn't give a about people who are suffering.
And my mama taught me you shouldn't do potty talk.
Ah, Tom Perez there. That's the guy that's running the DNC right now. Debbie Wasserman Schultz to that character, huh? In between, you had Donna Brazile, who was funneling all of the questions for the debate straight to the Hillary. Man, they have locked and loaded. They're a disaster. I thought the Republicans were a circus, right? Like, I really did. I thought there's no way the Republicans based on what you see in front of you with the Republicans, you should think to yourself, there's no way that, you know, if you're a solid Democrat, there's no way you should ever lose. But they are run by dig dogs. It gets better all the time. I think it's hilarious. And I don't care that you drop F-bombs. I don't care that you say those words. I care less. Doesn't mean anything. You don't have any substance behind it. You telling me how bad. You know what I hear him talk? Like I hear a lot of politicians talk. This is what drives me crazy. You know what I always hear? I always hear them tell them how bad the other party is. I never hear them say, I've got a solution. Now, I know that's part of politics, is you weaken the other side, right? But then where's your solution? It's always about how bad things are. This guy's a liar. He wants to build a wall. He didn't get anything done in his first 100 days. He's blah, 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 bleep, 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 and bleep, 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 bleep. You don't hear anything real. There's nothing of substance there. Now, that's just a soundbite, but I heard most of it. And again, you know, it's what are you doing for the people, right? Let me tell you what you should do. This is what I want my politicians to do for the people. All right? I want my politicians to do a few things. The number one thing I want them to do is to keep us safe. That's most important. Keep us safe, right? That's your number one thing, right? Infrastructure, very important. Very important part of what we do. Infrastructure, safety, immigration. Things that what we would consider political things. And that's what I'm talking about on the federal side of stuff. Obviously, the local side, you're going to do different things, but also keep us safe, right? Like, this should be the number one thing. Not about jobs, right? You're not creating a job. You're not here to create no job. You're no job creator. You're a job taker aware because you're a habitual line stepper. But that's, it's crazy. It really is. It really is. When you hear something like that and you look at the Democrats and you wonder why they're disarray, they're in disarray because that's it right there. That's what you've got. Right? Tom Perez and Keith Ellison are the people that are running this thing. And you got somebody who is an ex-flunky from the Obama and Clinton, you know, world, who is there, Tom Perez, who is just, I don't know what he's hoping for. But it's not helping. It's not doing anything. I didn't hear anything there of substance other than you using bad language and catching people. Oh, my God, he's on stage saying that. Oh, which, again, is not shocking. We've all heard those words before. Right? We've all heard those words before. It is what it is. It really is. Politics is a sad, sad, sad state of affairs. It really, at times, can be a sad state of affairs. That's why I always say, focus on what's in front of you at home. That's what matters most. Your kids, your family, you know, your work, your life that is in and around there. All that other stuff, it'll take care of it. And no matter what you or I do, it doesn't really change anything. It doesn't. No matter what you or I do, it changes very little. Very, very, very little. Very tiny, teeny tiny. Not a lot. Hey, I love this. I'm a guy that likes to look at all kinds of stuff. And I like to bring you things that other people aren't going to bring. And I came across this via our good friend here, producer Anthony. And I found it to be so intriguing. And it's in Forbes, and it talks about what the mentally strong people do in their life to stay mentally strong. And it gives you 13 things that they do not do. That they do not do. Meaning, these 13 things, this is what everybody else does. People who are mentally strong, they avoid these. Number one, waste time feeling sorry for themselves. They do not do that. They don't. Something goes wrong, they don't feel sorry for themselves. Pick yourself up, you dust yourself off, and you try all over again. I think that's great. Too many times, you get people who feel sad. Wah, 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 wah. No, don't feel sorry for yourself. Get up and go. Number two, they never give away their power. Mentally strong people avoid giving others the power to make them feel inferior or bad. They're in control of their actions, and they're in control of their emotions. Very important. Number three, they never shy away from change. Mentally strong people never shy away from change. Change terrifies most people. People are afraid of change. They like comfort, right? They like the same thing over and over again. Change makes them uncomfortable. And a lot of times in life, to grow, you have to do what? You have to get uncomfortable. Number four, they never waste energy on things they can't control. Mentally strong people don't complain much about bad traffic, lost luggage, or especially about other people, as they recognize that all of these factors are generally beyond their control. What can you do? I grew up in L.A. Sitting in traffic is a part of life. I know exactly what I'm going to get. Can't change it. Don't have a special car to get to and fro. So what do you do? Here's something else they don't do. They don't worry about pleasing others. Because a lot of times in life, when you are the people pleaser, you try to please everyone, what happens? Rarely do you please anybody. This one I really like. They never worry about taking calculated risks. They don't let that fear get in their way. They look at something, right? There's no paralysis by analysis. They look at the risk, they calculate the risk, and then they go for it. You have to be willing to do it. To be successful in life, you have to be willing to go for it. You have to be willing to try things. These are little things. And I bet you're sitting at home going, well, yeah, I'm some of those. Yeah, so I'm some of those. But some of those things have led. All of us at times have. But it's how long do we let these things go? Some of us have feared away from change. Some of us have let other people control our emotions, right? They get to us. But it's how long do you allow that to happen? They never dwell on the past. You look at any great athlete, right? Michael Jordan missed far more big jumpers in the final seconds that he made, but he never stopped wanting the ball, right? Great relief pitchers will go out tonight and give up a home run that loses the game for them. Tomorrow, they know within 24 hours, they got another chance to get it back. That game is over and done and gone. People who are successful and are mentally strong, they never make the same mistakes over and over again. That is the definition of insanity. Continuing to do the same thing over and over again. What they do is take actions to figure out what their mistake was, and they move forward. Failure is not the worst thing in life. It's not. This is something that's big, and I think too often than not, it gets overlooked, but they never resent. They never resent other people's successes. When I hear my friends that move up in the business or they get things, I'm stoked for them. But I will say this, when my show went national, I was working at a small station in Palm Springs, California, that the morning guy and the new program director treated me like dirt and resented the fact that I moved forward. And that's why they'll always be in that little podunk place. Because they, you know what, I would have been stoked for them. It would have given me energy. But yeah, that's who you're working with. They never give up after failure. Boom. Huge. How many of you quit? You hit one wall, it's over. I'm done. Too often than not, so many people quit. Every single failure is a chance to look and go, I failed. Why did I fail? I read an article today about this lady who went for a job interview, and it was great. She didn't get the job. And they call, and she called, and she said, no, we went with somebody else. And she says, can I ask you a question? He says, yeah. What could I have done better to get the job? And the owner of the company says, you could have prepared better. She applied for a job there the following week at another position, and she got it because she said she prepared. Failure will lead you to success, but you got to be smart about it. We never fear alone time, and I say we because I'm alone a lot, right? Like to be inside my brain. We treasure it. I do. That is my one thing I like to do. I love being alone. When I'm not with Jack and I'm not doing certain things, I love being alone. I get more done. I feel like it's refreshing for me. This one for the millennials, they never feel like the world owes them anything, ever. Think about that, kids. And finally, they never expect immediate results. You can never in life expect immediate results. If you want something done and you start a business, you start losing weight, whatever it is that you're doing, it takes time. You're going to fail. You're going to stumble. You're going to get frustrated, but you always move forward. It takes time. People don't ever, some people, because we live in an immediate world, this is what happens too often. We want it right now. It takes time. It does. Do you have the stick-to-itiveness? Do you have the attrition to stand through something? A lot of times when I see people who are successful, you know what? It wasn't their talent that got them there. Their talent may have got them to a certain point, but it was their stick-to-itiveness and work ethic that kept them through. It was an act of attrition, and they had it and wanted it more than other people. The Chad Benson Show, Facebook, at Chad Benson Show, Twitter, CHADBENSON, Chad at ChadBensonShow.com. You can text the program, 323-538-2423, 323-538-2423. It's the Chad Benson Show.
The Chad Benson Show. Kid tested. Mother approved.
Oh, he may not be president of the United States, but old Jeb Bush and Derek Jeter have partnered up, and they've apparently won the auction to buy the Miami Marlins. That's right. Man, apparently the asking price is $1.3 billion. So I don't know how much. It's just crazy. Jeb Bush and Jeter Group are optimistic deal that they have reached is pretty much done, and they're moving forward with it. $1.3 billion was the sale price. Added, Bush would be the controlling owner with Jeter having an active role. So Forbes estimated the value of the team about $940 million. That is crazy. What a kind of money. Here's the thing. He's probably not worth, I don't know how much. I mean, what do we think Jeb's worth? Let's take a look at net worth. I would say, let's go around the room here and figure it out. Producer Phil, what do you think his net worth is? Old Jeb there.
$15 million.
All right. Anthony, what do you think his net worth is? It's $20 million is what they're saying, right around $20 million. So he's got some cash, but he only got that kind of cash. But see, these guys, what they do is they know people who have deep pockets because they're hanging out. Jeter's probably worth $350 million, I would assume. Derek Jeter, I'm assuming he's worth $350. It's got to be worth that, man. That guy's got a ton of money. Nope, $200 million. That's it. $200 million. Wow. Is it the way we say it now? That's it? You're only worth $200 million? That's it? Ah, God. You're no Alex Rodriguez. But they know deep-pocketed people. Here's a good question. Would you rather be president of the United States or would you rather own a major league franchise? It could be baseball, the NBA, the NHL, or the NFL. You can own. Man, that's a tough one right there. That's a tough one. Being president would be pretty cool, but man, owning a major league franchise, that's the bomb.
I think owning a sports team is, there's more money in it.
Yeah, there's more money in it, and you've got, but you don't have the, you know, you're not the most powerful man on earth, right? The person on earth, but you own the team. Like if I told you tonight, Phil, you know, you'd be president of the United States or you could own the Washington Capitals or the Nats.
I'm taking
or the Skins. Yeah, or the Skins. Ooh, God. I don't know, man. I tell you what, that right there, I may choose a team. I'm not saying I would, but I think at this moment in time, if somebody came to me and said, you can own the Lakers, I may take the Lakers. If I could own an NFL franchise, man, that's a no-brainer right there, right? Like, that's a no-brainer. You own an NFL team, that's a no-brainer. No-brainer. Oh, crazy. People texting in, they like the list about what the mentally strong do. I like it as well. Just think about some of those things. Too many times in life, we just give in. The Young Americans Foundation, two groups, they're conservative groups at Berkeley, have decided not to go on with the speech for fear that they cannot get the protection they need to ensue that there will not be any violence. So they have now filed a federal lawsuit. They did. The Young Americans Foundation said in a statement Tuesday that they will not move forward with an event at Berkeley on April 27th due to lack of assurances for protections for foreseeable violence from unrestrained leftist agitators. They then went on to say Berkeley should be ashamed for creating this hostile atmosphere. And I agree. I think Berkeley has done a lot of this. It's come down on them. And this is, and you're getting federal funds. And she said earlier today, regardless of what they do, she's showing up and speaking. And she said the other day, before everything was canceled, that she was going to bring her own bodyguards, her own police, her own protectors. No, it's not going to be J.J. Walker, because that's the whole thing, right? Like, the, you know, she's like, he hits that. He's like, dynamite! The rumor is that they've dated, which is not true, that J.J. Walker and her, they're really good friends. Of course, you know, he of Good Times fame. But Junior, that's not true. She says not, but she says they're really good friends. Right? But, man, I'm telling you, I hope they win. I really do. And for all of you whiny, snivelly people that do not want to debate people, when you know so-and-so's coming to talk about immigration. You're like, well, I'd like to ask her some questions. I'm going to have a couple weeks before she gets here, I'm going to get my facts together. I'm going to get my figures together. I'm going to get everything ready. And when she gets here, I've got some questions I would like to ask her and to see what her facts and figures line up to be. Maybe she proves me wrong. Maybe I prove her wrong. But instead, it's let's scream, break things, get it canceled, and then cheer when we do because we've shut somebody up. Well, Berkeley, you're going to get a taste of what it's like to land in court. Good luck to you. If you like apples, they may say how you like them apples. The Chad Benson Show Facebook, at Chad Benson Show Twitter, C-H-A-D-B-E-N-S-O-N. That there be my name. You can text us always, 323-538-2423. You can send your love, your hate, your hugs, your kisses. It's all good. It really, really is. Have yourself a wonderful rest of your Tuesday. Tomorrow, we promise we will get you over the hump. For my man Phil, for my man Anthony, my name is Chad Benson. As always, I bid you all adieu. Night-night, Jack.
This is the Chad Benson Show.